And this is a time when we really do need to teach our children. If you'll, I know Brother Michael and I volunteer to go and do some work on a radio station down there in Louisiana. It's American Family Radio's tower. And if you'll listen on their radio station, which is 91.9, you'll see what's going on in this world and how Christians, they just don't have the rights they used to have. And it's unbelievable how fast that they're being taken away from us. Our children need to know the Word, and their little minds are like sponges at this point in their life, and they'll learn things they'll never forget. And it may be come a time in a short future that we may not be able to worship openly like we are. We may have to go underground. I mean, we can't imagine that, but if you'll listen to some of these stations that tell you, they'll tell you what's going on in the United States right now, and it's unbelievable how fast that they're trying to take our rights to worship away from us.
Let me welcome everyone to the services today, and glad you're here. It's good to see the good number that's here, and even the good number for Sunday school. I know we can do a lot better. We do have some that I know it's difficult. Sunday you'd like to sleep in a little longer and whatnot, but 10 o'clock is a lot later than 8 o'clock, which is what most people do for school, and so I know you can do it. I want to brag on Brother Bobby a little bit. The other day, he and I are also not only help do check things on it, but the satellite went out on that thing the other day, and the receiver and lightning or whatever got it. And so he went down there, and it's just an unmanned remote tower. They have about 800 or 900 of them across the United States. And he went down there, and he used two arms and one leg to change out that satellite receiver. He needed a third arm, so he had to throw a leg up there, but it changed out the receiver for him, and it's back on the air and working good. Just a neat thing if you ever want to get involved with that or have any questions about that. They use volunteers all over the United States to help maintain these American Family radio station towers. And so a lot of you are familiar with it. And so I appreciate volunteers everywhere, like Brother Bobby, and for helping out with that ministry. It's great to have all of our guests with us this morning. We're thrilled to have you, and want to, church members, if there's someone that you haven't met, we just want you to be sure and go up to them and introduce yourself to them. I was visiting Brother Norman about a friend of mine that had recently passed away Friday. We were headed to AYC, and I want to thank all the volunteers that helped with that. It was another good weekend, and try to be in the middle of 3,000 screaming teenagers, and that's always takes something out of you, but I enjoy it. And if you missed it this year, we missed you, and like for you to go and be a part of that. My friend, Brother Wayne Harper, died suddenly Friday of a heart attack. Pastor at Flatwoods Missionary Baptist Church in Mountain View, Arkansas. He was 58 years old. His wife, Miss Lorinda, directed mine and Karen's wedding. Brother Wayne was one of our ushers, and their three daughters were also in our wedding. And so... we're very close to them, known them for years. We have a lot of memories with them. They were the youth leaders at the church whenever I was dating Karen. And matter of fact, the first time in my life that I ever kissed Karen was right in front of their house. And after church camp, went over there, and I was visiting with the Harpers and brought Karen with me. And Danielle Harper, who's the same age as Karen, said, "Well, have you kissed him yet?" And I overheard. I said, "Well, I'll remedy that." Remember the Harper family and the church too, because that's got to be, the church was thriving, is and was, and hopefully continued will be. I know as hard as it is on Miss Lorinda, it's just as hard on that church. And sudden, devastating loss to them. The funeral is tomorrow at 2. The visitation is at the church today from 4 to 8. So the church is basically just dismissing for all of that.
The song we picked out is an old one we sung several times before here at the church. If you've never seen a Bible or heard of the Bible, this tells a complete story of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His birth, and everything that He's done for us and will do for us in the future.
Boy, y'all look sharp. There's a bunch of sharp-looking young people, isn't it? Oh, they've got ties on and pretty dresses. Okay, y'all are helping each other out. Thank y'all. There you go. Here you go. There you go. There's a... Whoop. I'm sorry for Peyton. All right. There you go. Put it... Mallory? Okay. Who did I back into? Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Y'all did great. Can anybody... Does anybody in here have a friend? Anybody have a friend? Okay. Peyton, who's your friend? Casey? Uh-huh. Who's your friend? Percy? Courtney is your friend. Anybody else have a friend? Mm-hmm. You brought this friend. That is so nice. Paige, who's your friend? Who? Ava? Is that right? Oh, who's your friend, Caitlin? Clayton? Well, let me ask y'all this. Who's your friend, Jace? All right. Is Bubba? All right. I think that's what he said. Okay. All right. Well, listen, hey, what is a friend? Can anybody tell me what is a friend? Mm-hmm. Okay, Percy, what's a friend? To help each other out, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's a friend? To have somebody to play with. That's right. I like that. And what else is a friend? Well, the Bible talks about a friend, and we have a friend in Jesus. And you know what a friend does? A friend cares for you very much. Matter of fact, the Bible says a true friend is willing to do anything for you. And so I hope that you realize that the best friend that we could have in this life, good friends are hard to come by, but the best friend we can have is Jesus. The Bible says He's our friend. You know why? He loves us very much and do anything for us. Y'all did really good, so everybody help me out. Let's all bow our head. Everybody close your eyes. Dear Lord, I just want to thank You for being our friend, and I thank You that You love us more than anything. Father, I thank You for giving the gift of salvation. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen. Y'all did really good. Y'all walked. Y'all did good.
Our special this morning is going to be brought by, what, Grace, family and friends, or Grace and family?
I'm just so proud I can bend over and grab that cord. You don't know how... privilege that is until you can't do it. I'm going to give you a quick tidbit of information before we sing this old song. I found out this morning how old it was. It's not even in some of these books back here, but I joined with Brother Bobby this morning. I just got through doing a review on prayer in school for one of my classes. And in 1963, when the Supreme Court voted to take prayer out of our schools, do you know that there was not one Christian dissertation given to that court? We stood by idly and let it go. And that's what we'll continue to do if we don't open our eyes.
Glory land is not so far away.
Jubilee,
all for pain. Crippled lives are whole again. What a glad, happy days will be. What a glorious Jubilee. All of heaven will be there. What a meeting in the end. Oh, what a glad and happy day it will be.
Your fire, something's wrong. Get some starter fluid or something. First Chronicles 21. If you find your place in God's Word, I had changed my mind on my sermon. Miss Denise called me and she said, "Did you drop your sermon off?" And normally I've got it done, finished over there for her to put in the bulletin by Friday. And so walked in the ladies' class this morning, said hi, and they said, "What are you preaching on this morning?" And it wasn't in the bulletin. And I said, "Well, I changed my mind," told them the story. But I said, "I'm glad that you missed it. I've been putting my sermon in bulletins for about 15 years, coming up on 25 years in the ministry. I started doing that as a discipline to myself, more or less, not as a requirement or anything. But I hope and pray that you do miss it when I don't put it in there. Because I hope that it's helpful to you, mainly, is the reason why. That was good. I was telling Brother Emmett this morning, I said, my voice is strong. I'm glad to have it back. Speaking of voice, Brother Evan didn't sing in the choir because his voice is shot, not due to screaming at AYC, but because of a head cold. But that's always aggravating, and pray for him. Also, I'll be calling my students all this afternoon. I won't be going to school tomorrow. I'll be going to the funeral. I'll be taking the church van if anyone would like to ride up there. I'll be leaving about 7 o'clock in the morning. That'll put us there 2 hours before the service is scheduled to begin, Lord willing. But anyway, very involved in our ABA work and many other things. Matter of fact, Brother Wayne Harper, many of you know, Karen's brother-in-law, even though I call him brother-in-law, Jason Hebert. Brother Wayne Harper is the one who led Brother Jason Hebert to the Lord back in 1994 or 95. This morning I wanted to preach on this subject, and the subject matter is called choices. And we'll just pick up in 1 Chronicles 21. Life is full of choices. When I first was thinking about this particular subject, I thought about one of the most famous choices that I enjoy. I love quotes by Yogi Berra, the famous baseball player and general manager of the New York Yankees. One of his famous yogiisms is, "When you come to the fork in the road of life, take it." Some of you didn't get it, but that's a yogiism for you. When you come to the fork in the road of life, take it. And if you want to look that up this afternoon, he's even got a website dedicated to, or his family does, to yogiisms. And but he's got a bunch more, and they're hilarious. You know, there's all kinds of choices in life. And here in 1 Chronicles 21, this is the same story found at the end of the book of 1 Samuel. And looking at all this, and we see that David made a lot of choices. He made a lot of right choices, a lot of wrong choices. And the thing is that, or 2 Samuel, I said, just a basically exact duplicate. I like this story in 1 Chronicles better a little bit because it gives you a few more tidbits of information. Choices. We make them every day. We make choices that affect our lives from the food we eat to the people we marry. Choices. They affect us every day. Some only affect us for a day, and some affect us for a lifetime. The choices we make. I was talking to one of our pastors this weekend at AYC, and he was telling me about a choice that one of his church members made that's going to cause his church member to be a felon for the rest of his life. He just recently made that choice. Choices. Choices can cause death. Choices can save a life. And every one of you will make a choice or decision concerning Jesus Christ if you haven't already. Matter of fact, there was a, David, in looking at this, made a choice. And he made a choice whenever he was, if you compare the verse or 2 Samuel to this, he was down. He did not consult the Lord on this choice. One writer said this. It says, he said, I remember, this is back in the 40s, this writer said, I remember one winter my dad needed firewood, and he found a dead tree and sawed it down. In the spring, to his dismay, new shoots sprouted around the trunk. He said, I thought for sure that tree was dead. The leaves had all dropped in the wintertime, and it was so cold that the twigs snapped as if there was no life left in the tree. But now I see there was still life left in that tree. He looked at me and said, he said, Bob, don't forget this important lesson. Never cut a tree in the wintertime and never make negative decisions in the low time. You know, a lot of times that's when people make some wrong choices, when they're down, when they're going through a rough time, when you're going through, and maybe you're not walking with the Lord. Maybe you're not in fellowship with Him. Your prayer life is, and when I say you're not walking with the Lord, and you're not in fellowship with Him, what does that mean? Well, you haven't been coming to church like you should. The Lord's relationship with other things is way more important than your relationship with the Lord. Maybe you don't read your Bible like you should, and, Sunday school is not as important because, I think I know enough about the Bible, we might say. Or maybe I just can't get up that early, or whatever the case may be. I'm just not as close to God. Your prayer life. A lot of times, the only time people pray is when a sudden tragedy strikes in their life. People start going to church and getting things right with the life. And folks, I don't think that this downturn in the United States, it has directly affected my parents, and it'll eventually directly affect all of us, this downturn in the economy and in our nation. But folks, if we go into a full-blown depression, folks, I think it'll do our country more good than it'll do harm. And we need to go through some tough times. Matter of fact, in life, did you know this? That the sweetest things in life are found when things are going tough. And folks, you, and many of you already know this because you have been through some rough times in your life, and David did too. Folks, many of you have been through some awful times. And you know what that does? That makes you appreciate it when things are going good. Some of y'all have been through some ups and downs, and we don't appreciate those ups unless we've been through the downs and the tough times. But folks, never make an important decision when you're in your worst mood. Wait, be patient. Storms pass. There's a writer that I don't agree with in a lot of points, but I enjoyed his book that I read one time. Robert Shuler wrote a book called Tough Times Never Last, But Tough People Do. And it's he's sort of a positive promotion preacher thing or another, but it's a great title for a book. Let's pick it up in 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go and number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. And Joab answered the Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my Lord the king, are not all my Lord's servants? Are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then doth my Lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? Joab saw the foolishness in this and tried to advise. Folks, have you ever heard good advice but you chose to ignore it? I have. Because I wanted to find out. You know, sometimes some lessons are best learned the hard way. You'll remember them a lot more. They won't be any fun. Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. So, report's done. It's finished. David made a major decision in his life. Now, we find out if you compare the 2 Samuel with this 1 Chronicles 21 that David's heart was full of pride. He just wanted to know where he stood. He wanted to know. He wanted to number Israel. And we find out that a lot of times in the Bible and in life, did you know this? That God and Satan work in tandem. Let me explain. God is definitely not on Satan's side, but you know what God does? God allows Satan to do his thing. He knows how much you can handle, and he knows how much that you can deal with in your life. And you know what God will do? God allowed Satan to test Peter. God allowed Satan to test Job. God tested Abraham. And you could just keep going on and on about. So God allowed David to be, if you will, he stood up and provoked David. You know what that means? How many of y'all seen the commercials or the cartoons where a little devil is sitting on this shoulder of this guy and a little angel sitting over here, and you got the devil, you know, and say, go ahead, do it, man, you'll have so much fun. The little angel's, no, it's going to be horrible. It's going to be horrible. And finally, you know, the fellow, so to speak, reaches up, knocks off whatever, usually the angel, and goes ahead and sins and does whatever they want to do. Well, guess what? I don't think the picture could be any more clear. There was the devil, whispering in David's ear, and it says here he provoked David. And it doesn't say that over there in 2 Samuel, but we find it out here. And so, but who allowed Satan to do that? So, first of all, the biggest thing, you make a huge decision without praying about it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever made a huge decision without even thinking of God? What does God want me to do concerning this in my life? And many times we make a major decision. It was a prideful decision. Now, once he did that, once he sent Job out, Joab had all authority from the king to go from Beersheba down south to Dan up north. And so he went, and then it says here he came back to Jerusalem. I've got the report in hand. Folks, I think David got to thinking. I don't know how long that census took. Matter of fact, I was preaching revival a couple weeks ago, and the pastor's wife was coming up on this census. We're coming up on a census real soon, and she was talking about trying to get employed to help do a census. I think that would be interesting. They said they've got technology where they just scan residences and somehow it gives you a number that lives there. I don't understand that. Unless the government can see in our homes, probably can, and we don't even know. I don't even know some things. Ignorance is bliss. As a pastor, the less I know, the better. I feel more freedom in preaching the less I know, okay? Confess your sins to the Lord, okay? And let Him forgive you. The less I know, the better. Whew. So why did he make it? Oh, by the way, let me finish that before I go on. I've got some more verses I'm going to read. We're going to preach through the whole chapter. Brother Emmett, I'll let y'all go at one. Okay. Now, here we go. Hang on. Okay. Joab, he's sitting there waiting on the census to come back. This is the thing about it. I've made decisions, and then you regret the decision you make. Can you change your decision? No. You can't change. Folks, many of y'all, you know it. I mean, some of you are grinning at me right now. You know where I'm headed with this. Have you ever said something and wish you could rewind? There's no rewind button in life. There's not. I mean, folks, and I've done, and the only thing, you know, I'll give you a simple illustration. Sometimes I've without thinking, I've said something to upset my wife and cause her sadness or anger even toward me because I said something, and all you can do is say, I'm sorry. But can you change the fact that you can't change it. It's done. You can ask for forgiveness. You can say you're sorry. But folks, there's a reaping process that happens. We reap what we sow. Now, there's some interesting scriptures we go along. So, Joab comes back to the report. Let's go now to verse 7. Okay, he's got the numbers there. Verse 7. Now, this is what I call the first one, simple as this, was a fateful decision. The next, verse 7, is what I call a formidable disdain. Verse 7, it says, and God was displeased with this thing. Therefore, he smote Israel. Now, he did this for a couple of reasons. Now, I'm going to share some things with y'all. If there's just one person in this auditorium this morning, your choices. Now, I'm talking about decisions, but the title of the message is choices. Your choices affect your family and affect others around you. Your choices have forever repercussions. Folks, if you never bring your children to church, your grandchildren or whomever, and they never hear the gospel, they'll grow up and probably your choice will directly affect them for eternity. They probably will not get saved. They probably will, they've heard of Jesus, but think, that's good, and I believe that Jesus lived, and he's a good guy, maybe even say that he's the Son of God, but they never ask him to save them. They never pray. Your decision has sent them to hell. Well, I know their decision did ultimately, but you made a choice to say, I don't care. They let them make up their own mind. Well, they will, whether you bring them to church or not. You bring them to church and they'll probably make the right choice. But it's still, they'll make up their own mind. Folks, I've even seen preacher's kids before. My kids are not any better than anybody else's kids. They make their own choices. I put the information out there and say, I think this is the correct choice. But folks, you know as well as I do, there comes a point where kids are going to do what they want to do, what they want to do. I don't care if you get tongue-tied or not, I was getting that out, okay? But they do. They make choices. Folks, I've seen a 2-year-old rebel. But I can do something about a 2-year-old. And if I can catch a 20-year-old, I will. May have to shoot them first, then I'll get them. I was spouting off one day in the foyer of church I pastored, not this one. I was talking about getting a shocking collar for Caleb, you know. I thought, we got remote controls for everything else, remote control discipline. One of the church members thought I was serious. You're not going to do that, are you? I said, well, I thought about it, but I love that where a reporter was interviewing Ruth Graham, married to Billy Graham. She just recently passed away. And, you know, he was gone preaching all those crusades all over the world. And, the reporter asked Ruth Graham, said, have you ever thought about divorcing Billy? So divorce, never. Murder a few times, but divorce, never. God was displeased because God hates sin and He hates pride. One of my favorite verses concerning this, and I'm just going to read it to you. You can look it up if you want to. It's found in 1 Peter 5, where it says this, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. When we make choices that cause us to sin, we affect all those around us. Verse 9 through 14 is what I call a final decree. And it says this, okay, quick review, intermission, time out in the sermon. What's happened so far? Satan tempted David. What did David do? He numbered Israel. Didn't have to. Why? He wanted to know how big a nation he had, how many fighting men he had. It says it lists how many people could draw the sword and fight with a sword. He wanted to know that he got a nation. And it really made him look good. God said, you did this for the wrong reason. You didn't even ask me. And He says in verse 7, God's upset at you. Folks, have you ever thought about that God would get upset at you? You may not think God is a personal God, but God is that personal. He can get upset just at you. There's a whole nation. I don't know how many Christians are in the earth, but if there's 500 million Christians on this planet, He can get upset at each and every one of you. He can get upset because you didn't talk to somebody. He can get upset at you just because you're full of pride. Verse 9 is what I call the final decree. It moves on. The Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, advisor, if you will, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I will offer thee 3 things. Notice the word. If you have a King James Bible, I don't know what the others say, but notice the words. Choose one of them. Folks, before I read any further, and I'm gonna pick it up in verse 10. Y'all hang in there. My parents before said, you want to be a whipping or you want to be grounded for 1,000 years? Let me think about that, okay? My mom's grounding was put... put me in a room, lock the door, and don't let him have any food. That's my mom's idea of grounding. I'm just kidding. She didn't. Okay. But, you know, she believed in, you know, the belt. And the belt in our house did say, I need thee every hour. Okay. And it said it all the time. How you want to be whipped? You want to be whipped with a belt? My dad will say, go get me a belt. I mean, it's like, which gun do you want to be shot with? A big belt here? Or the little skinny belt, you know, that'll leave small little whelps and this and that. That just reminds me of something that I've seen some parents whip their kids, and it looked to me like they were tickling them. You know, if punishment doesn't cause a child pain, it's not punishment. It's just another ride, okay, and the ride of life. He chose thee one of them. So Gad came to David and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, and I like the way it ends at verse 11, choose thee. Choose. You're going to pick the belt you're going to be whipped with. Because you just went off on a tangent, went off on your own, and you did this horrible thing. And you say, what's bad about a census? Well, it's why he did it. There wasn't anything wrong with the census. It's why he did it. He says he was thinking he's the king. Folks, God's the king. Okay? Here's your choices. 3 years of famine or 3 months to be destroyed by thy foes, while that sword of thine enemy overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying all throughout the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself, what word shall I bring again to him that sent me? And David said in verse 13 unto Gad, I'm in a great strait. You want me to put that in country boy terminology? I'm in a tight spot. Man, this... None of the three sound very good. The first thing was, basically, is 3 years of famine, which is going to affect all the people for a long time. And then he said, or 3 months to be... Basically, I'm going to let... I don't know who Adolf Hitler was at that particular time, but I'm going to let old Saddam Hussein come in and whoop up on you for a while. And I'm going to let all the people... to just rape your women, have at you. I mean, that's what they did when they went in. They took the spoils of the towns that they went into. That's the way the enemies operated. And so, basically, I want all your people, the whole nation, to suffer for 3 years. Or I'm going to let your enemies come in and do whatever they want to with you. Or else I'm going to send my angel down and bring a pestilence on you. David made a choice. He had to pick one of the three. He had to. A decision. David said, verse 13, I'm in a tight spot. That's my country boy version. And he chose this, let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hands of men. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. Instead of the whole nation being affected, it was 70,000 people died. Folks, David made a choice, and it cost 70,000 people their lives. Many people are very derogatory toward our former president, George W. Bush. Maybe they're against him because of the Iraq war. Overall, the long period, as far as our soldiers go, I forget what the last number was, 3,000 or 4,000 soldiers had died in that operation or that war. That's a lot of people. 59,000 died in the Vietnam campaign. That's a lot of people. We lost almost 250,000 men in World War II. That's a lot of people. People die because of choices that people make. Now, most of those wars we may consider honorable, whether it be World War II, probably the most honorable of all. Did those men die for nothing? No, they died for the freedom of our country. These men died for nothing. These men died because one man's pride. You're going to make a decision. You make a decision in life that affects your children. You make a decision that affects your grandchildren. You make a decision, listen to this, that affects your husband or your wife. We make decisions, and it does. It has repercussions. You can make decisions that affect your friends. And some of them can be eternal decisions. Well, finally, the angel did come down, and the angel of the Lord, with his sword, so to speak, caused this pestilence to destroy 70,000 men. Let's pick up the story in verse 22, and this is the last point, and this is what I call, a formidable disdain, a final decree, and this last one is what I call a forgiven David. You've messed up. Suck it up, I would say. Get right with God. Somebody comes to me and they said, you know, I've been divorced and now I'm single, or I've been divorced and I'm remarried. I've been this way and there's been folks in this church, even in our town, in this county, in this church even, there's been adulterous affairs. There's been sexual sin. There's people that get drunk and do stuff that they should not do in our church. And folks, those are decisions that have affected families in this church. And you know what? Just, I mean, we get harped up and say, well, I've did this and this and this and that. So what? Right now, say, I know I've messed up and made a mistake and I need God's forgiveness, but I want to keep Him number one in my life and serve Him. I mean, I know that men and women, I know the Bible teaches it, and I know from experience that men and women make decisions totally differently. And to the man comes out of me and I say, well, I've just got to suck it up and do what's right. Did you know that? I don't want to... You know, last Sunday, there was one or two come up to me and said they didn't get it. But that's okay. Two wrongs don't make a right is the saying. The title of my sermon was Two Wrongs Make a Right. I was just saying God took two wrongs and He made it right for you. There was a bunch of wrongs that went on with Jesus. But so I've messed up. I've made mistakes. I mean, bad stuff. Stuff that affects your life and my life for the rest of our lives. And that's why I say, you know, the man comes out and says, well, I just need to take what I've got right now. Just put the past in the past. Some people have trouble doing that. And say, I've got to take what I've got right now and just serve the Lord. And that's where we come to the next part, what I call a forgiven David. A forgiven David. Had David already had the sexual affair with Bathsheba? Yep. Did David mess up again? Yep. And as long as we live, we're going to have mess ups. That's when you fall on your knees. And he did. He fell on his face before God, asked for forgiveness, and said, I want to take what I've got now. Please forgive me. Let me serve you. Again, what does he say? I got you for just a few more minutes. Hang in there. Verse 22. David told Ornan, which they had told him to go and get Ornan's threshing floor. Grant me the place of this threshing floor. I've got to build an altar. In other words, I've got to build a place where I can call on my Lord. Thou shalt grant it to me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee. Here you go, I'll give it to you. You do what you think is good in your eyes. Lo, I'll even give you some oxen for a burnt offering, and the threshing floor, and the instruments for the wood, and the wheat. I give it all to you. David said, nope. King David said to Ornan, nay, no. But I will barely buy it for full price. I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. Follow me very close. If you miss a whole sermon and you're sitting there just thinking about lunch or counting your Wheaties or whatever, I don't know what you're doing, but listen to this. You can't even come to church and worship God if it doesn't cost you something. And I'm not talking about money. Some people sacrifice their time and give it to God. Some people come to church and they give of themselves in their heart. They lay it all before God. Ornan said, oh, is that what it's going to take to stop the plague and get your life straightened out? Well, here, I'll give you the title deed. You can have all the oxen you want. You can have all the tools over here. David said, I cannot
That'd be like saying, I'm worshiping God and for free. But worshiping God is not free, so to speak. What it means here is David, he wanted to be sacrificed. He wanted it to cost him something. He wanted to give of himself and give what he needed to. He didn't want some handout for God. He wanted to say, I've given full price. I've laid it all before him. And if it costs me $10 million, I don't care. I'll pay top dollar for the threshing, for a piece of property. And I'll give it to God. Folks, our service to God takes sacrifice. Some people want church, a church service. They want three songs, an offering, and 3 points and a cloud of dust. Oh, that's you going down the road. Preacher, give me 3 points and a cloud of dust, and I'll see you later. Norman, 3 songs and a verse, and let's go. It's like McDonald's. Let's come in, take an order, get what we got, and let's go. Just give me a number 3, hold onions. Some people treat church that way. They don't want it. Some people want church. Just like McDonald's, you know what that is? Quick, easy, and inexpensive. I don't want it to cost me much. But even Sonic and McDonald's are getting expensive. But people don't want to give. Folks, our church does a lot of things. Our church has youth ministries. Our church has youth camps. Our church has trying to redo a library over here. Our church is trying to do this. Church is trying to do that. But I'm sorry if church activities ever interfere with y'all's schedule. I'm so sorry. I'm crying. I'm so upset. The church services may not fit your schedule. I'm being sarcastic. Oh, yeah. We've got a to-do list and a schedule. To-do list is what you want to do, and a schedule is your schedule. And the third piece of paper is if church or God can fit in anywhere else. Amen or oh me. Mm-hmm. Which one are we going to say? Verse 25. So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the Lord. This is cool. This is even before Solomon built the temple at this place. And the Lord answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offerings. And the Lord commanded the angel, put up your sword, put it back in the sheath. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there. Are you willing to sacrifice for the Lord? As we prepare for a hymn invitation, and don't get all excited about putting your purse and your bulletins and your songbooks and all that up just yet. What was the title for my sermon? Choices. Did David make a bad choice? Yep. Did he get it right? Yep. Did it cost him something? Have you made some poor decisions or choices in your life? I have. I've said things I shouldn't have said. I've hurt the ones I've loved. And my heart is torn when I can't make it right.
and I ask God's forgiveness. Folks, there's nothing wrong with me asking God's forgiveness. If I'm lifted up with pride, I won't ask God's forgiveness. And folks, if it takes it, I don't care what if anybody agrees or disagrees with me. I want God's forgiveness and I want your forgiveness whenever I mess up. Sometimes the right things in life are hard to do, aren't they? But I'll swallow my pride and bow before God and beg of you to forgive me. And the whole point of me saying that is, advise your pastor. I'm willing. Why can't we all? I need to ask my family and friends for forgiveness. In order that God would bless me. And you may not ever see the blessings He has for you. Your children may see it, or your grandchildren may see it. But it's because you did the right thing. Even after making a bad decision, you can still do the right thing like David.